Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning. So glad that you're here. We want to start the service out by having one of our teenagers play an instrument for us. And I've been anxious to hear her play. So come on up, Gracie. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Josh, you did a good job teaching her, brother. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gracie. Thank you, sweetie. All right, open your Bibles up, if you would, to Psalm 66 this morning. Psalm 66, very appropriate psalm this morning, matter of fact. Psalm 66. Psalm 66, the first verse says this: Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible. Now the word terrible does not mean what we think of it nowadays. Terrible means awesome. How awesome art thou in thy works. Though the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. She made a joyful noise in the Lord using an instrument. Amen. She used a joyful noise to bring praise and honor and glory to him this morning. I'm glad that we have young people. I'm glad that we've got middle-aged and older people that want to bring praise unto the Lord. Not unto ourselves, but unto the Lord. That's what we ought to do on a daily basis, not just on a Sunday morning. So let's bring praise unto him this morning. Let's bring glory unto him this morning by how we treat each other, how we sing the songs, how we worship him this morning. Let's bring praise unto God with what he's given to us today. So let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that you have given us reason to praise you. Lord, you have indeed protected us another night. You have indeed given us a place to gather to worship you in one accord. Lord, you have indeed given us the breath in our bodies. You've given us the ability to feel and to think and to sing and to do all these things. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you for our friends and loved ones here today. Thank you so much for your word in the English language. But God, above all that, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for what he has done for us by dying on the cross for our sins in our place. Thank you, God, that he was buried. But thank you, God, that you rose him from that grave. And right now he is sitting beside you and he is praying for us. He's showing his blood to you on our behalf. And I thank you, God, for that. Now, Father, this morning as we continue to worship you, as we sing, as we give, as we hear about missionaries, as we look at your word, may you be glorified. May you convict us. May you change us. May you encourage us. May you draw us closer to you as we gather together today. We love you and we thank you. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Hold on. Just let Scott go first. Come on up, Scott.
Hello, good morning. I want to talk about our missionaries that we support, the Whites in France. So it's Jim and Addie and Sibby and Mac and Millie. And so we find out about this. They send us letters, and here's one of them. If you want to pan down all the way, see the little picture on the bottom. That's going to be a big part of who we're talking. That's their daughter, Millie, and we'll talk about her here in a minute. But this summer, the camp that they went to, there was 17 children that made decisions for the Lord, so Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so speaking of that, Emily, we had a garage sale here. Emily raised money for her to go next summer to help at a camp, and they raised over $600, and she is well on the way. So thank you all for giving. She wants to pass the thanks on. And so that's good news that they wanted to share. And then a prayer request that they had and some news from their church is there's a lady over in Europe. There's a lot of the single African women that seek refuge in Europe if they have had if they've been trafficked in Africa. And that's what happened to Comfort, is one of the ladies that's been coming to their church, and her one-year-old son, Derek. And so Comfort and Derek are staying with one of their sweet ladies named Eunice in their church. And so they got to share the gospel with Comfort, and they're praying for her. So we're going to pray fervently for her this morning. And we're going to pray for little Millie. You see Millie, maybe a little hard to see, but that's her youngest daughter. She's 6 years old, and here's what happened to Millie in July. So the end of July brought a big change for our family when I rushed our youngest, Millie, to the ER with stomach pain, dehydration, and other strange symptoms to discover that she had type 1 diabetes. So this came as a shock. There's no history in their family of this, but I love their heart. They said, they admit it's been very difficult, obviously, in their family, but here's what he asked for is, please pray as we continue to learn more how they'll be able to better care for Millie and use this as an opportunity to bring glory to God. So we praise God for their heart in this matter. And also the good thing is the hospital that they took her to just an hour away, as they're the area experts in France for this type of problem, the type 1 diabetes. So they can get all the care they need there, all the medicine there in France. So they're thankful for that. And they're just asking for our prayers. Isn't she sweet? Look at her. So let's pray for Millie, and let's pray for the Whites as they adapt to that, and pray for their church, and especially for the woman named Comfort and her son Derek. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to help missionaries and to pray for them. We pray that you just encourage them and encourage them as they help people there and as they share the gospel. And we pray for Comfort that she would be saved there and be encouraged with Eunice, and pray for her son to be saved as well when he can decide. And we pray for little Millie that you would encourage her, and especially their family as they take care of her and their lives have been changed. But pray that you keep her healthy and that she's is able to take the insulin regularly and be well. And we thank you for all our missionaries that we get to help. We thank you for Emily, help encourage them as they continue to raise money to go on their missions trip. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Number 37.
Then would you please offer a prayer for us? Yes.
Accept this offer, Lord, and bless it, that it may go further than we even anticipate, or better. May your will be done through the money for the others.
Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 368. And the church hymnal will be on the screen also. 368. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How many believe that this morning? Amen. Amen. Last verse. This is all my hope and peace. Last verse.
This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
We're going to sing one more song as the choir comes down. Glad to see all the visitors with us this morning. Welcome. As we fellowship this morning around, make each one of the visitors welcome. Heaven's Jubilee. Let's sing together now.
Children's Church.
And Children's Church can be dismissed.
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. Coming after you and me, joy's theirs to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise in o'er that jubilee yonder in the skies. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies.
Y'all fellowship around as she plays.
Amen. Amen.
all shall rise. Oh, what glory! Hallelujah! When meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Last verse now. When with all the heavenly host we began to sing, singing the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be. Praise Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on the happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky.
Please be seated.
Abraham, oh, the God of covenant and faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven you'll do just what you say.
Hope and firm foundation, he's never
your faithfulness to me. Yes, great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me.
God hadn't spoken to his people almost 4 centuries. And I'm sure they were wondering, does he even care about us anymore? They had gone against what God wanted several times, very circular. They would do right, and then they would do wrong. Then they would do right, and they would do wrong. And each time God would forgive them, each time God would restore them, and each time God would make himself manifested to them. But finally, enough was enough. For 400 years, he never spoke to his people. No more prophets. Nobody to speak for him. Now, of course, they had the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they had the rabbis who were going throughout the land teaching what the Old Testament taught. But he didn't have a manifestation, didn't speak to them for 400 years. Sometimes we feel like that in our lives. Sometimes it feels like we're going through a season where God is not even speaking to us, or we're not even listening to him. And we begin to wonder, God, are you really there? Do you really care? And are you really interested in my life? The song that Lily sung just a moment ago, very appropriate. God is always faithful. And his faithfulness is not based upon what we do or what we don't do. God is faithful because that's who he is. 400 years, and the people began to wonder, what's the next thing? And then finally, a virgin conceives. And she bears a son. And this son's name was Jesus. And he came to his people. John the Baptist preached about it. John the Baptist was baptizing people in the Jordan River, saying, the Messiah is here. The Lamb of God has come to take away the sin of the world. And so when Jesus was baptized, he began to teach. And he began to tell people of the things of God. And people's hearts were tender. And they wanted to hear because it had been 400 years. And now the one that had been promised had come. And so everywhere he would go, he would perform miracles and he would teach. And people were clamoring about him. We want to hear more. We want to hear more. Because it gave them hope. This morning, we're looking for hope. We're seeing and hearing about all the events taking place at a place that's thousands of miles away. We're removed from that. But our hearts are still anxious. We're also understanding and realizing that we've got people in our very midst who are hurting this morning. There's some precious ladies that have lost a husband recently. There's some precious folks that are dealing with family situations. There's heartbreak and pain in this very room. And we need to hear that there's hope. We need to hear that somebody really cares. We need to hear that there's a solution to the problems of the world. May I tell you that that solution is not found in a bottle. It's not found in a pill. It's not found in a shot. It's not found in a relationship with a human being. It's not found in our mind. It is found through Jesus Christ. And so as Jesus was going throughout the land teaching, people wanted to hear what he had to say. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to hear what Jesus has to say? Do you have an open heart to him? Well, let's look at what Jesus had to say to the people then, but it applies to us today in 2023, just like it did back then. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word in the English language. Thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to not only teach, but to die in our place, to take our sins upon him, to be buried. But oh God, thank you that you rose him again. Now speak through me. Use me as a mouthpiece. Because God, I don't want the glory. I want you to be glorified. I want to bring comfort and peace through your words to these precious folks. And may we leave here this morning knowing that you have spoken to us through your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. One such time that Jesus met with the people, we find in the book of Matthew. So turn your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. This is one of the such times that Jesus taught masses of numbers of people. And this account that we see in your Bibles, most of them, is called the Beatitudes. Okay? But he taught this lesson multiple places throughout as he would go along teaching things. But here in Matthew chapter number 6, we're not going to go through the whole thing, of course, this morning because we don't have enough time. Otherwise, I could take the time, but I don't think you'd like that. But Matthew chapter number 6, there's one particular phrase that we want to look at, and then we want to kind of understand where that comes from. Matthew chapter number 6, this is probably one of my favorite verses in the entire book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33. Now Jesus is speaking to a needy people. He's speaking to a people who are destitute at times. He's speaking to people who have riches financially. He's speaking to people who've been looking for hope and strength and peace. And here's what he tells them in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He's making a concluding statement about a few things that he has taught in the middle of his teaching. Now, it begins all the way back in chapter number 4 and chapter number 5. It talks about where he was at. He was on a mountainside, and all the people were gathered around him. So right here in the middle of all this teaching, he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." This morning, let me ask you a question. What do you really need? I'm not saying what you want. I'm saying, what do you need this morning? If we were honest this morning, we don't have a lot of needs necessarily. Of course, we need food and we need clothing, we need shelter. How many of you did God give you clothing and shelter and food this morning? Okay. How many of you gave you the breath? How many did he give to the breath and the heartbeat inside your body? Of course. Okay. So we recognize those things. But then the problem comes about when we start thinking that our wants are really our needs. We have basic needs: food, clothing, shelter. You know what another need is that we don't think a lot about? We need love. We need to know that somebody loves us. That someone really cares about us. That somebody is really interested in us. That someone knows and where we are and how we are. We need that. We need someone to be in control. We need someone to be our God. See, our needs are not just physical. Our needs are spiritual this morning. So let me ask you to consider this thought. What is your spiritual need this morning? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need comfort? Do you need guidance? Do you need wisdom? Do you just need to know that God loves you? Those are the needs that we really want to concentrate on this morning. And so we need to go back just a little bit here in Matthew chapter 6 and just kind of pick up where this background is coming from, him talking about our needs. So look at chapter number 6, but go back just a few verses. Go back just a few verses here, back to verse number 24. Now this is where we need to make a choice today. Yes, we want our needs met, but the question is, who's going to meet our needs? Look what he says in verse number 24. He says, no man, now he's not just talking about the males, he's talking about humans. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And then he says it plain, you cannot serve God and mammon. He's making them make a choice. Either you serve God or you serve yourself. You either choose to follow God and trust God, or you trust your efforts and something else. He's saying, you have got to make a choice. Let me ask you a question. Who are you going to serve this morning? Are you going to serve yourself? Are you going to serve the ways of the world? Or are you going to serve God? Who is it that's going to meet your needs this morning? Verse 25. Therefore, because of this, I say unto you, Jesus said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you're going to drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? He says, listen, I know what your needs really are. Now, he was speaking to a broken people. He was speaking to people who didn't have very much money. Now, there were probably in the crowd some Pharisees and some Sadducees and probably some rich people in amongst them. But he was speaking to the general populace, and most of the people didn't have a lot of financial means. He was speaking to widows. He was speaking to orphans. He was speaking to all kinds of situations, people who all kinds of things in their lives. He was speaking to you and me. Because honestly, guess what? I'm a needy person. Can I admit that to you this morning? I'm a needy person. And if my wife was here, she'd be saying, amen. We're all needy. So he was speaking to people that had the same issues of life that we have, just in a whole different situation. But they needed something to eat, something to drink, something to wear, something to live. They needed those things. And he was saying, listen, don't worry about the physical, because God can handle all those things. Then he gives them examples. He says, look at the flowers. Who made those flowers the beautiful color that they are? He says, look at the birds. The birds, they don't plant. They don't store up. How in the world are they taken care of? He says, listen, if God provides the flowers and the beauty to the flowers, and he provides food for those little birds, don't you think he's going to provide for you what you really need? He says, but here's the problem. Some of you are choosing to serve yourself or the world, and you're not choosing to serve God. Now, he's not pointing his finger. I kind of think that he had his arms open when he was doing this teaching, saying, listen, I love you. And the choices that you're making, they're destroying you. You're choosing to do the drugs. You're choosing the promiscuity. You're choosing the alcohol. You're choosing all these things, the clamoring for money. You're choosing all of these things to satisfy you, when your satisfaction is standing right before you. Now skip ahead just a little bit here. Go to verse 27. He says, which of you, by taking thought, by worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature? When I read that, I'm reminded of Mayberry, Barney. Y'all remember Barney and Andy? And Barney was trying to get into the sheriff's department, I believe, or some one of the departments, or the state police. And he was just a little short. So what he did was he went into the closet and he got one of these newfangled things and he started hanging upside down to increase his stature so that he could somehow get tall enough to make it into the state troopers. And so Andy went in one day, opened the closet, and there's Barney hanging upside down. I'm not going to get upside down, but he was hanging upside down. And Barney was doing everything he could to get just added to his height so that he could do what he thought he wanted. Now you say, that's kind of silly, Brother Brian. Well, you know what? We do the same thing. We have a need, and we have a thing that we need thinking in our minds, and we want to go and do this, but the problem is we go about it the wrong way. We have an emotional need. We need someone to love us. And sometimes we pick the wrong person to try to do that with. Sometimes we pick the wrong object and we get lonely and we get scared and we get upset and we go back to what we used to do. We go back to what makes us feel good, but oftentimes that destroys us. And we find ourselves in an emotional situation that we know is just going to end and it's going to destroy us. But if we could just get that temporary fix. See, I know what that's like. Because I've been there. And as a pastor, I get my emotional fix sometimes based upon how many people are in church. Oh, we had a good... I talk to people all the time. And they said, how'd church today go? You know what they're really wanting to know? How many people were in the auditorium? Whew. Man, I tell you, I talk to other preachers. We had 2,000 in our church today. Well, praise the Lord. So they feel really good. And I talk to them next week. Oh, we only had 150 today. And so they're really down. May I tell you, numbers are not what God's caring about. He cares about people who want to serve Him. Amen? So my emotional state should not be based upon who shows up and who doesn't show up. My emotional state should be based upon who Jesus Christ is and what He's doing for me. Amen? All right, so go to verse number 28 now, real quick. And why take you thought for your raiment, how you're clothed? The lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't even toil, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, was He talking about physical clothes? Yes. But He was also talking about your basic need, that God's the only one that can meet it. Whew. It's amazing how much we have technology. And how much we rely upon the screens and the phones and the computers and all these things to make us happy. When in reality, it's making us more lonely and more needy. And we're comparing ourselves to other people. When God just simply says, be satisfied in me. Now, I'm not knocking phones. I saw some of you go, oh. That's not what I'm talking about. When we base our emotional and physical needs upon little electronic devices, and that's where we find our satisfaction, we're in a lot of trouble. And all the parents said, come on, parents, help me out. All the grandparents said, the other day, Melissa and I got a chance to go out and eat, and we were sitting there eating and we were talking. Because we have a policy, and my kids hate it, but we have a policy when you eat, you put the phone off to the side. I saw an older couple probably in their 60s, and they're on their phone. He's sitting here scrolling, and she's sitting there scrolling. Didn't even look at each other. Food came. They didn't pray. They just began to eat, and they kept looking. The waitress brought the ticket. He gave her the money. They kept looking. They got up and left. Kept looking. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world's going on? Because we're trying to find our satisfaction in a little electronic device, which is really destroying us instead. And all the sane people said, and those insane people said, look what else he says here. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whither shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, in other words, those who are seeking the world, they seek those things. But here's the assurance I want to give you this morning. Look what it says. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Underline that right there. God knows what your need is. Here's what I want you to do. We're almost done this morning. Here's what I want you to do. If you have the wherewithal to do it, take you a pen or a pencil, if you've got one with you. And I'd like you to write down on a piece of paper, maybe in your Bible, what is your greatest need right now? Just take a moment. Maybe think about it. What is your number one need? Now, I'm not saying want. What is your number one need right now? Just take just a moment to write it down. Maybe write it on your heart this morning. What is your number one need? May I tell you, as you're writing that, that God already knew what it was before you wrote it down. You say, well, how is that possible? Because He's God and He knows everything. Because look what Jesus said. He said, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. He knows you need to eat. He knows you need clothing. He knows you need shelter. He knows you need love. He knows you need companionship. He knows you need strength. He knows you need all these things. You know how He knows? Because He made you. He created you. When you were in your mother's womb, God didn't say, oops. God said, I love you and I'm going to create you wonderfully. So He's seen you from the very moment of the universe being created. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows exactly what you need. But may I shock you this morning with something? Your number one need is not clothing. It is not food. It is not shelter. It is not a new job, a new car. It is not those things. Now, some of you may have wrote those things down, and that's good. That's okay. I'm not knocking it. But you know what our number one need is? Our number one need is to worship God. A relationship with Him. The right relationship with Him. A lot of people know about Him, but not everybody knows Him. See, God doesn't play spiritual hide and seek. He doesn't say, here I am, now you don't see me. Here I am, now you don't see me. He revealed Himself through Jesus Christ. I love how the book of Romans in chapter 1 tells us that He made Himself manifest. And we can know Him by the things that He made. and He speaks to our heart and He draws us to Him. And our number one need is to be in right relationship with God Almighty Himself. If you have that, then you've got the best thing in the world, and God can continue to work on the other needs that you have. But until you get that, nothing else makes any sense. Now you say, well, Brother Brian, I've got that down. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but my life is still falling apart. May I tell you, you got number one, your relationship with God, where it should be fantastic. Here's the answer in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There it is. We get the first one settled, but then we start doing things our way. And God says, get your priorities back to where they should be so that I can work in your life. Seek my righteousness, God says, and let me deal with all the other issues of life. I find myself failing when I do it my way. When I try to find appeasement in other methods. And may I tell you, they bring temporary satisfaction. But then they leave me empty and dry and starving. But when I live my life in His strength for Him, doing it His way, then I get satisfaction and I get peace and I get strength. May I add this? I can't do it by myself. That's why I need you. Man, I can't wait on Sunday mornings to see y'all. On Wednesday nights, I cannot. That's why I stand out there and look like a fool sometimes. But I stand out there shaking hands and hugging necks because I need you. I can't walk this life by myself. I need God, but I need you. You need each other. That's why it's so important to be here. God's not going to judge you because you don't come to church. God says, come so you can worship me with everybody else. Now, I know there's people watching us via the internet. So, in order to make them feel part of us, if you can, would you turn around and look at that camera up there and wave at them? Because they're a part of us too. And they wish they could be here right now. See, God knows we have needs. And one of our biggest needs, other than salvation, is each other. I need you. You need me. We're a happy family. If you know Barney, you know what I'm talking about. We need each other. Salvation, we need each other. Because we can't make it without it. So let me ask you, what's your need? God knows it. Why don't you tell Him about it and then ask Him how to deal with it? Because He'll the one that will show you. And all God's people said, let's all stand together. Now, I'm not promising perfection, and I'm not promising everything's going to be working out exactly like it should according to what you want, but trust the Lord. Put Him first. Let Him meet the need. Let Him meet the need. Tanner, if you'll come on up. Danny, if you'll get ready to come sing in just a second. We have the privilege of having another baptism this morning. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get ready to baptize. And then, but we're going to have a time of invitation this morning. If you have a need, if you have something on your heart, you need someone to pray with you about something, and you're fighting through it and you're hurting, won't you come? Let us pray with you today. You're not alone. God's here, but you have people in this room that care about you. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have promised to meet our needs according to your will. Lord, I've stumbled through it, but Lord, I've given your word, and you're the only source of satisfaction there is. So this morning, I pray for that one or two that may not know Jesus as their Savior. They've tried everything else except Jesus. Today, would you draw them to you? There's Christians here who are struggling. Maybe this week has just been horrible, and they just need to know that you love them. Would you please surround them in your love and your peace right now? Everybody's hurting. Would you please give them strength? There's those who are seeking, needing wisdom. Would you please answer according to your will? Lord, we need you every day. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to invite you to come. Won't you come right now? Come. If you need help, come on down.